For the rest of this hour, we want to talk about a threat that usually goes unnoticed by most of us. On this program, we regularly tackle topics which could, if you're made of sensitive stuff, keep you awake at night. The precarious situation with North Korea, the power games of Washington politics, the latest developments on the far frontiers of scientific advancement. But there is one subject on which we have been notably remiss in helping you, the public, stay informed. The threat of zombie attack. What should you be doing to keep yourself and your family safe from this scourge? Max Brooks is with us to discuss his guide to surviving in a zombie-infested world, and we're going to take your questions on attack preparation, civic defense, and on zombie science. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can send us an email at totn@nbr.org. Did I say zombies? Yes. The undead who walk among us, devouring the innocent and spreading their foul condition through the ranks of humanity. As I mentioned, joining us now from our bureau in New York is Max Brooks, the author of The Zombie Survival Guide, Complete Protection for the Living from the Living Dead. And Max, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil.
First of all, I think there's a lot of confusion about what causes zombieism. How much does science know at this point?
Well, I don't think the question is how much they know. It's who's talking to who. We might have a lot of knowledge out there, but I don't know if everybody is coordinated working on a zombie cure.
Well, you seem to have isolated the cause, though, one particular virus.
Yes, it's a virus called solanum. It infects the human body and it mutates the human brain. A normal healthy person will go into a coma and die. The brain will then reanimate and bring back the body as a carnivorous walking corpse.
Now, one of the great contributions that your book makes is to debunk a lot of myths about zombies. For example, I had always heard stories about their ability as tool users, that they were pretty much of a threat with a hoe or a shovel in their hands. You say no.
No, they're basically dumb brutes. I try to encourage people not to look at them also as monsters, because monsters implies evil, that's a judgment, that implies emotion, that's something you don't want. You just think of them as a machine, or as I like to think of them, a guided weapon.
Let's get a caller in. Bruce is on the line with us from Lawrence, Kansas.
Hey, I have a question that's sort of a general question, and I've been wondering, being a zombie aficionado of many years, maybe you could explain something about the taxonomy and the biology of zombies. Why do they need to eat us poor living people? What keeps them going? How does their metabolism work? What's this eating, eating of the living flesh all about? How does it keep them going? And I'll take my answer offline. Thanks.
Good questions, Bruce. Thanks very much.
Well, it's an interesting question. There actually is no physiological reason for the consuming of human flesh. We suspect it's probably a subconscious need or an instinct, but it does not keep them going at all. You can have a zombie whose stomach and innards have been blown away, and they still want to eat.
And that's one of the key lessons that you just talked about, and that they will continue eating literally until their stomachs explode.
Yes, this is something you don't hear a lot about, which are bloated zombies. You might see zombies whose stomachs and innards are extremely filled with copious amounts of human flesh.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
There is, you point out, though, since they have no feelings, they feel no pain. That's their great advantage over us mere humans.
Yeah, their greatest advantage is, like I said, they're a guided weapon. Once they lock on you, they're going to come after you until one of two things happens. Either they're destroyed or you are. They're not going to be distracted or scared or anything, confused. They're coming right after you.
Here's an email we got from Matt. If I remove my brain, will I be immune to zombie attacks?
If you removed your flesh, you would be immune.
So they're after the flesh, not the brain.
I've heard that they might be after the brain, and I actually am not sure whether it's brain or flesh. But the truth is, and I say this to everyone, if a zombie's coming after you with its arms up and its mouth open and it's biting and gnawing and moaning, don't worry about the brain or the flesh. Just get out of there.
Let's go now to Dave, who's on the line with us from Salt Lake City.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just saw a headline in the Weekly World News that the zombies that work the sugarcane plants in Haiti have gone on strike. I wonder if you know what their demands are and how those negotiations are going.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it's very interesting you say that. In my research, I've discovered there's a difference between the viral flesh-eating zombie and the voodoo zombie. I was not aware. Voodoo zombies are actually human beings that have been infected by a neurotoxin, are believed to be dead, wake up in their coffins, use the air up inside their coffins, and then act like zombies because of brain damage.
where, amazing.
As opposed yes. to the virus zombie who does the reanimation process. So you give a timeline much quicker, Max.
Oh, yes, much quicker. And it's very important to know the difference because a voodoo zombie is not really a zombie. It's just a poor brain-damaged person, so you don't want to go and hurt them or decapitate them.
Okay. Dave, thank
you. Or put them to work in their sugar plants.
Or, well,
or work in the sugar plants. That, you know, this could be a problem.
Thanks very much for the call, Dave, and keep a sharp eye out tomorrow night.
Yes, will do.
Okay. We're speaking with Max Brooks. His new book is The Zombie Survival Guide, Complete Protection from the Living Dead. It tells you things like organize before they rise. They feel no fear. Why should you? Use your head, cut off theirs, and blades don't need to be reloaded. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And now let's go to, I hit the wrong button. Let's go to Ryan in San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is kind of about, you know, recovering zombies. I feel like there's a few in my neighborhood. My taqueria for this guy painting my house, I think, might be an ex-zombie. And I'm wondering about these zombies that are being reintroduced into society, if you have any idea about, you know, rehab programs. And I'll take my question off the air.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Ryan. Domestication is indeed one of the issues you discussed in the book, Max.
I always say zombies cannot be domesticated. Don't try to domesticate them. I know there's a lot of political battling between the right and the left. Should we kill them? Should we hug them? The main thing is, if you see a zombie, don't try and control it. Don't try and rehabilitate it. Just get away from it.
There is a lot of, again, misconceptions about how to protect yourself. One of the things you talk about is the difficulties of using, you know, the old-fashioned medieval suit of armor, which you think would be a great protection against zombies. Hard to bite through the plate armor there. But you say this is not as good as you might think it is.
No, I think, in fact, the suit of armor does more harm than good. I think it gives people a sense of bravado, and they might want to go out and fight zombies or taunt zombies when they should be trying to get away. A suit of armor is very heavy. It's going to dehydrate you. It's going to wear you out. Remember, zombies don't dehydrate or get tired, but we do. It makes a lot of noise. That clanking is going to attract a lot of zombies. So I think instead of being protected, you're going to be spam in a can.
And the one thing you do mention, though, that might work pretty well is chain mail.
Well, I say the chainmail is good, but still it clanks. I think the best solution is tight clothing and short hair. Zombies will want to grab you, so just don't give them anything to grab onto.
Let's go now to Buffy, and Buffy's with us from San Francisco.
Hi, how are you?
Moved from Sunnydale, did you?
Yeah, right, exactly. I was just wondering, can they successfully fall in love and carry on a relationship, and if so, will they respect me in the morning?
Well, they might try and eat you in the morning. I think that's a definite problem.
That's true. Well, I tell you, me having long hair and fighting vampires as I do, the short hair might be a good idea. I'll have to think about that.
At least tie it up in a bun.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Thanks, Buff. Here's an email question. Well, I guess it's along the same lines. Do the zombies mate?
I've never encountered any. I don't believe that they do, and nor would I want to find out.
Another email question, this from Mike Fisher in Kalamazoo. Why did the zombies disappear from the pop music scene in the 60s so quickly? Their first album was great. Where are they now? It's the time of the season, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. We've been looking for them. And I think Halloween, it's a very important time, not for zombies, but for people dressed as zombies. Be careful, people. Don't go out and shoot them if you think they're zombies. They may just be trick-or-treaters.
Let's go to Jason, who's with us from Oswego, New York.
Hi, I was told that shooting their heads off or cutting their heads off was the only way to decapitate a zombie.
Or incapacitate, or perhaps decapitate. Yeah. You got a new word there, Jason. Go ahead, Max.
No, I think that's great. I think that destroying the brain, separating the brain from the rest of the zombie, or just giving enough bodily damage that a zombie cannot come after you and do any harm. And there's a lot of ways to do it. There's a lot of weapons, some good, not some good.
Thanks very much, Jason.
Hey, thank you.
All right. And let's try now Eric, who's with us from Davis, California.
Hi, I've got a legal question about the zombie issue here. If I actually take the zombie's life, will there be legal ramifications for me as they are actually an undead being?
You know, that's a really good question. That's why I encourage people to not attack initially. Wait till the outbreak becomes full-fledged. Wait till everybody knows it's a zombie outbreak. You know, you don't want to be the first person to see the lone zombie and run up and cut its head off. because, and I mentioned this, there are some historical cases in the book where people have been tried for murder.
Uh-oh.
Well, yes. Be careful, Eric.
Then I'm in trouble.
Bring a witness.
Yeah, bring a witness, bring a camera.
Thanks very much, Eric. And let's go one quick question left. Mike is with us from Kalamazoo.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering if zombies can see.
What about their sensory organs? Good question, Mike. Thank you.
Very good question. Zombies have the exact same senses that we do, but their advantage is they use them all equally. You know, we're sight-dependent beings. So in the night, we'll become incapacitated in a way, whereas a zombie depends on sight, smell, hearing, all of them equally. So they're going to be much better at hunting us than we are at hunting them.
Max Brooks, thanks very much for this vital information. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Max Brooks is the author of The Zombie Survival Guide, Complete Protection from the Living Dead. And if anything in this program frightened, annoyed, or fooled you, we leave it to the inimitable Orson Welles to make our excuses.
The War of the Worlds has no further significance than as the holiday offering it was intended to be. The Mercury Theater's own radio version of dressing up in a sheet and jumping out of a bush and saying boo. Starting now, we couldn't soap all your windows and steal all your garden gates by tomorrow night, so we did the best next thing. We annihilated the world before your very ears and utterly destroyed the CBS. You will be relieved, I hope, to learn that we didn't mean it and that both institutions are still open for business.
In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.